Elijah, I gotta say you did a good job with that lesson. It's the toughest one in the whole Christian year, I think, and you did admirably. I want to compliment you. I want to begin this morning by telling you a story about something that happened to a colleague of mine a number of years ago. And it was on a Sunday morning. It was a Sunday that he wasn't preaching that particular day, and he stopped at the drugstore on his way to church. And as he came out of the drugstore, he heard some loud music and laughing coming from one of the smaller suites in this little strip mall. And as he got a little bit closer, he heard several "Thank you, Jesuses." And so he was compelled to move forward and come closer to this big window by the door. And inside there were about 50 folks of various ethnicities. And they were dancing and they were singing and they were clapping their hands and shouting out loud and crying. And he heard some more, "Thank you, Jesus." And he heard some language that he didn't understand. There were people, he realized, in this room that were speaking in tongues, praising God and dancing with the Holy Spirit. It was a sight to see and a lot of noise to take in, he said. Here was a group of Christians, his brothers and sisters in faith, who were expressing themselves in such a way that was not a part of his tradition, but certainly a part of the Christian faith. There wasn't a good 19th century hymn to be sung or a gospel lesson to be heard. There was no organ. Just a tiny little electric piano and a bunch of noisy tambourines and some cymbals. The babbling he heard sounded indeed as if these people were drunk and it was 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. But he got to thinking to himself, there was a kind of a friendly chaos to the service that seemed to include almost everyone. Most surprising of all was my friend's reaction to the whole thing, because he was raised in the suburbs like me. He thought how amazing it would be to be able to express our gratitude to God in such a wild and crazy way. The story he told me that day about the Pentecostal, this was the name of the church too, the Pentecostal Church for All People, that experience has truly stayed with him ever since. The Pentecostal movement in this country is the fastest growing Christian movement. It is, in fact, the fastest growing movement around the world, with about 500 million people claiming today to be Pentecostals. It's ironic that such a movement, which a few years ago was considered to be a fringe group, is now more mainstream than those of us who consider ourselves to be mainline churches. The Pentecostal movement is now especially strong in the U.S. as it combines traditional Catholicism with a spirit-filled form of expression. Now, I'll tell you, this is not the way it was up at North Shore Congregational Church when I was raised. I was going to tease Dick Bookman, but he's not here this morning. I was trained in Sunday school and covenant class, not to really trust in the unleashing of the Holy Spirit in that particular way. Back in those days of the late 60s and early 70s, we were being taught to be good congregationalists, seeking God in ways that were decent and in order. We've all been, I think, accurately described as God's frozen chosen because we fit that mold. So many of us have been just that. Good folks, caring folks, loving and well-behaved Christians. But I believe that what took place in that little strip mall out in Los Angeles was a glimpse of what is coming in 21st century Christianity. And I have to admit, it not only intrigues me, but it frightens me. I'm intrigued because of the joy and gratitude simply bubbling over in that tiny gathering of believers. But I'm also frightened Because in our mainline tradition, we have no needles on which to knit this particular garment of sacred expression. The very first Pentecost was all about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a creative, chaotic event with rushing wind and tongues of fire. Everyone present found themselves speaking in a holy babble, telling of the mighty works of God in a universal language that overcame nationality and overcame borders. A community of the Spirit was created at the first Pentecost as it broke through the divisions and separations. We remember that the disciples at the point of Pentecost had been hiding out those 50 days, hiding out in a state of bewildered grief and longing. But on this particular day, Peter lifted up his voice and he spoke with a tremendous urgency, identifying that what was taking place was in the ancient words of the prophet Joel, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh, so that people could dream dreams and see visions. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that day was powerful. It was passionate. It was potent stuff. But on this day of Pentecost, how will God's Holy Spirit be poured out on us and upon our confirmants? The Spirit unleashed at the first Pentecost was the Spirit of evangelism, meaning simply the good news of life in the Spirit of God. Too often mainline Christians have tried to contain the good news of Christ rather than letting it go free. But the Spirit at Pentecost was a Spirit that could not be contained, a Spirit that had been freed from death and doubt and despair into the rushing wind and leaping tongues of fire. Now, how do we, clear-thinking, upstanding, smooth-talking, straight-walking, articulate and smart Protestants, how do we experience the Holy Spirit of God in our midst? Probably not through the gift of tongues as it was on that first Pentecost. But we can learn from the rise of Pentecostalism worldwide. It is the expressed power of the Holy Spirit in lives of individuals who come together in communities like this one. Now that power may be experienced in a different way from the way we worship and seek to know God, but it's the same Spirit. There is in our world a deep desire for authentic faith, and there's a longing for experience of the sacred. It's not always met in our very carefully crafted lives and our carefully crafted worship here. What the Spirit of Pentecost reminds me to become is a kind of sacred babbler. Now by this I mean a person who's available to the movement of God's Spirit in my life. You see, over the last 30 years, I've been blessed to hear stories of people's faith journeys. And I moved to tears by the power of the Holy Spirit moving in each of these people. The diversity of the churches I've served truly is amazing, but not as amazing as each of these stories. Each ribbon of authentic faith that brought people to God. In these stories, I hear an urgent message to the church that there is a hunger for deep joy and authentic experience and the life of the Spirit, who comes not only to us decently and in order, but wildly and creatively, causing surprise and renewed hope and love in our community. We experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit through love. It's as simple as that. Love surpassing any human telling of it. Love that can fan the flames of human caring and compassion. Love that can stand up for the poor and the tortured, the victim, the violated, the lonely, and the lost. People in every congregation, whether we call ourselves mainline or Pentecostal, are called to care for each other. We're called to care for the world. What I see in many Pentecostal congregations is that they take seriously the command to love your neighbor. In reaching out to the poor, they really put into action that which they pray for. They try to restore dignity to each human being because they believe that each human being is important in the eyes of God. Loving and caring for each other transcends labels and unites us as disciples of Jesus. The Spirit that was set free on Pentecost is our model. It was an including Spirit for the rich and for the poor, for the social outcast and those who were in the inner circle. Tongues of fire rested on all the people present that day, empowering each one with the passion of the Holy Spirit. On this day of Pentecost, I dream of a church when we're hurt, we believe in the good news of God's healing love. I dream of a church that speaks and acts with a faith that will help to reconcile the world to itself. And a church that's also willing to turn this world upside down when that is what is needed. I dream of a church of Spirit-filled people, unafraid of loving and living and laughing, unafraid to cry and dance and sing as a response to God's grace. I dream of a church whose witness in the world will transform the world. I dream of a church unafraid. Unafraid to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Unafraid to speak of the mighty power of God. A church filled with dreams and visions. A church filled with gratitude for the call to be children of God. I dream of such a church. Amen.